Exodus chapter 3, Old Testament. Exodus chapter 3. Talk about, it's a familiar passage to you, but maybe not in the way that I'm going to present it. But it should ring true to most all of us this morning. And that's the excuses that we use for not serving God. As we've been talking about already this morning, the world that we live in these days, the unrest, the confusion, the chaos, the things that go on, God's people don't need to use any excuses for serving God, right? We need to serve God. We need to be the light of God in a world that needs Jesus more than anything. And so many of us, and I know we don't do this here, it's those other Christians, right? Why is it that we feel that we can offer excuses when it comes to things of the church that would be ridiculous if used elsewhere? But Moses, in our story here this morning, had plenty of excuses for not wanting to do what God told him to do. Remember that in Exodus 3, God tells Moses that he has heard the cry of Israel for deliverance, and he's ready to deliver them. He gives this news to Moses, and I bet you Moses was probably thrilled at that moment, don't you think? God has finally decided to rescue my people out of bondage in Egypt. Praise the Lord, right? Then the surprise came to Moses when God looked at him and said, Moses, I want you to do it. I want you to do it, Moses. So we're going to see today when God confronts Moses with this call that he has excuses instead of service. For instance, you know, we've had some excuses like this before. Most of us have. I know I have, probably. You're made aware of someone with a need and that you could provide, and then the excuses start welling up within your soul, right? I'm too busy. I don't have time. I don't like that person anyway. I don't know what to say to them. In fact, if you're asked to do about anything for the Lord, excuses start. I'm too busy. I get someone else. Surely there's somebody else that can do it. And we'll see all of these things is the same thing Moses was saying to the Lord. Sometimes our excuses pile up and get in the way of doing something great for God. I read another humorous story. Maybe I'll get you guys to loosen up just a little bit. You'll like this one. It was about some GIs on furlough, and the commanding officer was furious when nine GIs who had been out on passes failed to show up for morning roll call. Not until 7 p.m. did the first man straggle in, say, I'm sorry, sir, the soldier explained, but I had a date, I lost track of time, I missed the bus back. Being determined to get in on time, I hired a cab. Halfway here, the cab broke down. I went to a farmhouse and persuaded the farmer to sell me a horse. I was riding to camp when the animal fell over dead. I walked the last 10 miles and just got here. Though skeptical, the colonel let the young man off with a reprimand. However, after him, seven other stragglers in a row came in and had the same story. Had a date, missed the bus, hired a cab, bought a horse, etc. By the time the ninth man reported in, the colonel had grown weary of it. Okay, he growled, now what happened to you? Sir, I had this date and I missed the bus, so I hired a cab. The colonel said, wait, don't tell me the cab broke down. He said, no, sir, the cab didn't break down. It was just that there were so many dead horses in the road, we had trouble getting through. Now, they must have all got together and decided this thing out, right? Getting the facts straight. Sometimes our excuses, though, hold us back. Moses had his reasons for not following the call of God. Moses begins a list of reasons here in chapter 3. And I'm not going to read all of this text, but I'm going to refer to these verses. Excuse number one that Moses used for not doing what God wanted him to do was the who me excuse. Who me, right? The first excuse that Moses offered is kind of pitiful. But see if it doesn't sound like something that you may have said to God before. Verse 11 says, "But Moses said to God, 'Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt?'" Moses, no doubt, remembers his failures in life. He's tried these things before, and they didn't work. That'll kill most of us, won't it? We tried it before, it didn't work. We tried it again, it didn't work. So I'm not going to try it again. And so Moses was starting to talk about these things. Well, in the book of Acts, Stephen, the deacon, tells the story of Moses to the high priest not long before he was stoned. The story is about Moses when he was 40 years old. He went to visit his Hebrew brethren and found one of them being mistreated by some Egyptians. And so Moses stepped in to help his Hebrew brothers. And in the process, he killed the Egyptian, and he quickly buried the evidence. You remember that story? Later he came up on two Hebrew men fighting and asked them, why were they fighting? And they looked to Moses and they said, "What are you going to do to us? Kill us like you did the Egyptian?" Moses thought he had buried the evidence, right? He thought that he had escaped anybody ever finding out what he had done. But the word was out. So Moses was scared and he ran away. He made a mistake in the past. And what happened was it cost him his credibility. Now, there's something else that'll hurt us, right? When we're trying to serve God, we might have done something in the past that cost us some credibility. And we start wondering, why would anybody now listen to me? If they know this about me, why are they going to listen to me now? God is asking Moses to go back to Egypt and help rescue the same people of whom he had already lost credibility with. And so in verse 11 of chapter 3, Moses argued with God and gave the excuse, why me? Why would they listen to me now? They know about that thing I did in the past. You know, it's a terrible thing to believe that when we speak, that no one is listening. That's one thing preachers always think about. I'm up here talking, and nobody's listening. They're getting sleepy. They're taking a nap. They're thinking about lunch. Thinking about what I'm going to do this afternoon. Right? That's what preachers think. And anybody who stands up to speak in any venue would think the same thing. But the past, and I'm just picking, by the way. I know y'all don't think about those things. This is a good church, right? It's a good church. But in Moses' case and in our case, the past is redeemable. Things and people change over time, don't they? It's something about time that helps, hopefully for the better. Hopefully you and I have grown spiritually over the years. Moses needed to realize that he and the people are at a different spiritual place than they were 40 years ago. I would hope so, right? 40 years? A lot of us in here this morning have been saved for a long time. I hope you're farther down the road spiritually than you were years ago. Because that keeps many of us from doing what God wants us to do. We get terrified of being rejected. And we feel like a failure. And so we're scared to try different things for God because we don't think we're going to be able to do it. God promised Moses in verse 12 that he would be with him And God will be with us as well, will He not? Some of you this morning are probably scared because you're working in vacation Bible school this week and you're worried that things won't go right. But guess what? God's going to be with you, right? God's going to help you. Of course He will, because you're on a mission for God. So He's going to help you. Moses' first excuse expressed doubt in himself when he said, "Who me?" His second excuse expresses doubt in God. Excuse number two, by what authority, God, do you want me to go? By whose authority do you want me to go to Egypt? Moses said to God, "Indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they say to me, 'What is His name?' what shall I tell them?" God didn't ask Moses to go and explain all that he did not know about God. He just told him to go and tell the people, tell the Pharaoh all he did know about God. That's what I talk about when I encourage you to tell somebody else about Jesus. Don't worry about what you don't know. Tell them what you do know. How did God save you? How did that happen? Just tell your story. Tell what you do know. God will use that as He did with Moses. God responded to Moses' excuse here, by the way, in verse 13 of Exodus 3. Then Moses said to God, "If I come to the people of Israel and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'Who or what is His name?' and what shall I say to them?" God said to Moses, "I am who I am." You know, that's really all God has to say, right? I am who I am. And He said, "Say this to the people of Israel. Tell them, 'I am has sent me to you.'" God also said to Moses, "Say this to the people of Israel. The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and thus I am to be remembered throughout all generations." God says, "I am who I am." He told Moses all these things because when he would tell the people that he's talking about the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, then the people would understand that it was the God of Israel that Moses had been sent by. God told Moses, "It doesn't have to do, Moses, with who you are. It has everything to do with who I am." This is an excuse that we use. "But I can't do it, God. I'm not able to do it, God. I have no idea what to do, and I don't think that I could do it anyway." I've used that excuse with God. "God, you want me to do that? I don't think I can do that, God. I don't think..." excuse. Matter of fact, I say that a lot of Sunday mornings on the way to church, by the way. "God, I don't know if I can do that today, but He always helps me." He always does, and He'll help you. God said to Moses, "Moses, it's not about your talents and abilities. It's about God and what He is able to do." The reason why so many people are not committed, now this is sad, but the reason so many people are not more committed to serving God is, quite frankly, they don't know who God is. So you can't serve God if you don't know God. You can't serve God if you're not saved. You can't serve God if you're saved and you've just never grown and you don't really know anything about God. That hinders us. Folks trust God to save their souls but they don't know anything about God's power. Why would we trust God to save our souls and then not believe He couldn't help us to do all the minor things? Listen, it was a major thing to God did to save your soul and my soul, right? It took Jesus going to the cross to save my wretched soul and your wretched soul. And so if God can do that, God can help me do anything that He wants me to do, right? He's able to do that. God tells Moses that I am who I am. He's literally saying, I am He who was and He who is and He who always will be, right? I'm God. That's why God calls Himself I am, because He's always the same. The same God that delivered the Israelites out of Egypt, it's the same God today that can help you with your problems, right? He's the same God. And He's the same God that's going to be there for you tomorrow and next week and next year. He's God. He is the great I am. Well, here's a third excuse of Moses. Moses had a case of the what ifs. You ever had that before? The what ifs? In chapter 4 in verse 1, Moses said, what if they will not believe me or listen to what I say? For they may say the Lord has not appeared to you. Moses' third excuse began with the words, what if? And it was totally hypothetical. And stepping forward to serve God, we might say, well, what if this happens, or what if that happens? Moses' response was, what if they ask me a question that I can't answer? Go tell somebody about Jesus. Well, what if they ask me a question about the Bible that I can't answer? We talked about this Wednesday night about sharing your faith. And you know what you do if you get asked a question, a Bible question that you can't answer? I've got some words of wisdom for you here this morning, so listen. Tell them you don't know. It's just like that. Tell them you don't know. Tell them you don't know, but you'll get the answer for them, and then you just call the preacher or the Sunday school teacher or whomever and get the answer, right? Or a Christian friend that you know is pretty knowledgeable, you think that they are. Don't give them the preacher's phone number. Don't tell them to call me. You take care of it, right? You do it. What ifs are victory killers. They are. What ifs are zeal quenchers and faith killers. Excuses will relegate us to second best, less than what God wants us to be or needs us to be. Moses was so concerned about what might happen, he didn't hear God say what would happen. So God gave Moses these three proofs that we see in this scripture. First, Moses had a staff in his hand. A staff, kind of like a cane. But you know what it was, a staff. It's taller than a cane. In chapter 4, and starting with verse 2, it says, the Lord said to him, what is that in your hand? He says, it's a staff. He said, throw it on the ground. So Moses threw it on the ground. It became a serpent, and Moses ran from it. That's what I do when I see a snake on the ground, right? Run. But the Lord said to Moses, put out your hand and catch it by the tail. So he put out his hand and caught it, and it became a staff in his hand again. It's important here to note that God didn't ask Moses to use something that he did not have. He said, Moses, what is in your hand? What is that you already have in your hand? He says, it's a staff. God doesn't demand from us what He doesn't give us to use. He doesn't. God impresses you to do a mission trip or go share your faith. What makes you think that God is going to send you and then abandon you? Yet if you ask, if asked to share your faith or go on a mission for God or any other uncomfortable thing that we're asked to do, we immediately start thinking about excuses and not even pray about it. Because I'm going to tell you, when excuses well up within me, I found out that if I start praying about it, the excuses are pretty lame. they're really pretty lame. And God gives me the courage that I need. We will never know the full potential of what can be done until or unless we're willing to offer it to God. You've heard it said before, God's not looking for ability, He's looking for availability. Well, that's exactly right. God's looking for some people that He can use. God's looking for some people in this church that He can use. God has got work to do in this church, right? And this church in this community. But He can't do it unless we make ourselves available to Him to be used of Him to carry these things out. We've got to be available. Now, here's what happens when God asks us to do something. We become accountants all of a sudden. We put our assets and liabilities and abilities in one column, and we put our limitations and liabilities in another column, and then we start sizing things up and see if we can really do what God wants us to do. God, wait a minute, I need to do a feasibility study to see if I'm able to do what you want me to do. And we start thinking about all these things. Can I do it? Can I not? What if this happens? What if that? Back and forth. God's not interested in that. God's command to Moses was, when he had the staff in his hand, he says, just throw it down. And at that moment, Moses was obedient. He threw it down. And then it became a serpent or a snake. And now God says, pick it back up. That's difficult, is it not? Took a little bit more obedience to pick it up now. It's not a stick anymore. It's a snake. And you know, everyone knows that you don't pick up a snake by the tail. If you're crazy enough to pick up a snake anyway, right? You don't pick it up by the tail. What might happen if you pick it up by the tail? You're going to get bit. And I'm afraid I'm going to get bit anyway. But as difficult as that was, Moses obeyed, and the snake became a staff, and his faith was strengthened. Who knows in here this morning that it's okay to do it if God tells you to do it, right? It's okay to do it if He says do it because He's behind it. Next, of course, there's a couple of other signs Moses is given. God asked him to stick his hand in his cloak, and he pulled it back out. It was leprous. It was white and leprous. Then God said, put it back in. He pulled it back out. And he had skin like a baby again. Fresh new skin. And then there was the ability to turn water into blood. He says, Moses, if they still won't believe you, dip a bucket of water out of the Nile River and pour it out, and it'll become blood on the ground. God was loading up Moses with all the ammo that he needed, right? Everything that he needed to get the job done. God had thus far revealed himself to Moses. He told Moses of his desire to deliver the people. He's promised him success and given him three signs that the people will believe. But despite all of this revelation, it's not enough for Moses because he comes up with excuse number four. Lord, I don't speak well. I can relate to that. Because in case you haven't noticed, I'm a little on the countryside in my accent. And by the way, everybody's got an accent, don't they? Everybody does. We used to have this professor in seminary, and he was from South Africa, and the people there spoke they spoke the Queen's English, England type English. And so we were kind of ribbing him about his accent, and he looked out at us and said, "Fellas, I do not have an accent. I speak the proper Queen's English. You have got an accent," he told a bunch of Southern boys. But everybody's got an accent. And Moses evidently was not comfortable with his, because in verse 10 of chapter 4 says, Moses said to the Lord, "Oh my Lord, I'm not eloquent, either in the past or since you have spoken to your servant, but I'm slow of speech and of tongue." Moses said, I'm not an eloquent speaker. I talk funny. I'm slow of tongue. Except he's fast to make excuses, right? He's slow of tongue, but he's fast to make excuses. And so the Lord responds to Moses in verse 11. The Lord said to him, Who has made man's mouth? Moses. Who makes him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall speak. God will do that. Did you realize that any kind of inadequacy that we would come up with this morning is a lame excuse when it comes to serving God? It's lame. If we don't make ourselves available for God's plan, our lives can't go forward like God wants them to go. It's very likely that God may have a special plan for you right now, but you won't do it because you think you're inadequate for the job. Well, in case four wasn't enough, there's one more excuse. Fifth excuse, verse 13 of chapter 4. This is the good one. This is the one you've used and I've used. But he said, Moses said, "My Lord, please send someone else." Right? Send somebody else. No matter what signs or no signs, whether God promises to go with him or not go with him, Moses just flat doesn't want to go. He just doesn't want to go. The last objection, this last excuse, was not based on the slimmest thread of reason of any kind. Moses just did not want to go. "I'm not going, God." You ever said that to God? "I'm not going to go"? Some people do. Not a good place to be. Because in verse 14 it says, "The Lord's anger burned against Moses." The Lord's anger burned against him. We need to put this down. We need to get it in our head. We need to sink it into our heart. God becomes angry at our excuses. He does. God becomes angry at our excuses. You see, God is a loving God, but he doesn't love at any cost, anything, anybody. Mamby-pamby. Do what you want to. God will understand. God loves you anyway. It doesn't matter if you go or you don't go, he still loves you. Well, all that's true, but if God told me to go and I didn't go, I'm being disobedient. And so, who am I, after God directed me to do something, after he put something in my path, to stand and tell him I'm not going to go? Send somebody else. Moses is refusing to trust God's answer. Moses begs God to send somebody else. And in effect, he's telling God, God, I know you told me all these things, but I don't really trust you. I don't really believe you're going to do what you say you're going to do, God. So send somebody else. That isn't that arrogant thinking? This angers God. The Lord's anger burns against Moses. The sin of excuses will someday come to judgment. We're standing before our judge. Our excuses will be all gone, and we'll just be standing there bare to the truth, right? Not only do excuses anger God, but they cause discouragement in the body of Christ. Excuses force the few people to carry the weight of many people, and Satan uses this to drive a wedge to bring division and discouragement. It's the old thing of 10% of the people doing 90% of the work. And after a while, 10% of the people are getting tired. They need help, right? And it brings discouragement and even ill thoughts about those who are not working. And back and forth, and back and forth. And Satan stirs that pot, and he uses it to bring division in the church, right? We don't need someone else to tell us what God wants us to do ourselves. We don't need him to send somebody else if he told us. In the latter part of verse 14, God said to Moses, and God is really being lenient here with Moses at this point, considering. But he says, is there not Aaron, your brother, the Levite? I know that he can speak well. This is God speaking to Moses. Behold, he's coming out to meet you, and when he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. You shall speak to him and put words in his mouth, and I will be with your mouth and with his mouth, and will teach you both what to do. He shall speak for you to the people, and he shall be your mouth, and you shall be as God to him. And so Moses, I'll just use your brother Aaron if you're not going to do it yourself. You can just tell him what to say, and he'll say it. Don't you think God's being pretty lenient with Moses at this point? Of course he is. Because Moses was God's man for the job, but he told Moses that his brother Aaron would be allowed to assist him. The problem with using Aaron, though, listen to this, is because Aaron's walk with God was not very solid. Wasn't very solid. You remember once the children of Israel left Egypt, Aaron got his brother and the children of Israel into serious trouble with God because Aaron led the children of Israel to make a false idol while Moses was up on the mountaintop getting the Ten Commandments. Aaron led them astray. Because Aaron's walk with God was not solid. That's why you can't get just grab anybody to do what God wants you to do, but especially if their walk is weak with God. God's not going to honor that. You can't do God's work like that if you fill it with people whose lives are not walking with God and for God. God wanted Moses. Not Moses or Aaron. Not Moses and Aaron. He wanted Moses. So Moses finally does something God wanted him to do. In verse 20, it says, Moses took his wife and his sons and had them ride on a donkey and went back to the land of Egypt. Moses took the staff of God in his hand. He did what God asked him to do finally. Think of the lives that he touched because he was obedient to God. and knocked. Over 2 million Israelites came out of Egypt because Moses was finally obedient to God. Millions of people, probably more than that. When we walk in obedience, we too will touch many lives that are around us. And lives need to be touched around us today, don't they? The cost of obedience is nothing compared to the cost of disobedience. Can't or won't. Can't or won't. Christians need to be careful with which one that we choose. We often choose to say we can't. It really isn't a matter of or a case of I won't. We say I can't, but what we really mean is I won't. I don't want to do it. We need to face the facts that when we refuse to follow the Lord, it's because we won't. We disobey because we choose to. God is looking for those of His children that will do what He's asking them to do. And when we do it, God is not going to abandon us. We saw with the example of Moses that when we do what God wants us to do, whether it's in the church or wherever else He wants us to do, whatever He wants us to do, He's not going to abandon us. He's going to equip us. He's going to give us everything that we need to serve Him and to live for Him and be bold for Him and share our faith in Him. After all, it's His reputation at stake. And so He's not going to spoil His reputation by not giving me and you what we need to serve Him. And so let's stop making excuses, right?